But Lord, we also thank you that this month is Mission Month. And as we turn to your word, we ask you to open it up to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you all know that this month is Mission Month. And by our display, which is in the foyer, you will recognise that our theme for this month is Moved. It's a theme that's been given us by the Australian Baptist Missionary Group, which we know as Global Interaction. And I want to follow that theme this morning by talking about moved by others. So it's moved by God. And last week we heard from Wayne how he had been moved by God. This week we'll look at moved by others. Next week it's moved by the need. And they have given us some sermon structure, some sermon points to follow, some sermon outlines. So I'm going to do that today and use the points which they have given me. Now it goes without saying that we are firstly have to be moved by God. That's where it begins, isn't it? Moved by God to want to spread that message of good news in whatever way we can. And that's very important because we recognise that God's heart is a missionary heart. He gave his only beloved son to come and to die on the cross so that this gospel of salvation should go to everyone in the whole world throughout the ages. And God was absolutely delighted and, shall I say, excited. He rejoiced when you and I, if we are believers, accepted that message of the gospel. And now God constantly seeks to move our hearts so that we will have that same missionary zeal that he has. That we will want others throughout this world to know him and to come alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways he does that, one of the ways he moves our hearts is through the influence upon our lives of others. Other believers like us who are passionate and who are committed about sharing the story of Jesus. So in fact, the whole idea of moved by others is actually further clarified by words such as influenced by others, or in particular, inspired by others. So I'm sure those of you who were here last week to hear Wayne Field speak, I reckon you were inspired, weren't you? Inspired by the way God is touching his life and moving him and his family to England so he can further the gospel. And I think we were influenced in some way in our thinking, I know I was, through the week as I thought back to some of the things that Wayne had shared with us. And the reason that we are moved by the example of others become very apparent when we consider the first sermon point that they've given us this morning, which is that God created us for relationship. He made human beings in such a way that we are dependent upon one another. It doesn't matter whether we're Christians or non-Christians. We are dependent upon other people to achieve the goals that we set in life. But this is paramount when you come to the Christian church. God's made us as a body of believers. And we are to work as a body. I'm very conscious that God's called me to be a pastor, but I'm not on my own. I'm part of a group, part of a team, that we're all working together. Talking to a pastor on the phone this week, a country pastor, and he was telling me the burden he has is to convince his people that though he's the pastor, he's not the one who's got to do everything as far as reaching out to people. That they sit back and think, well, you're the pastor, you should go and talk to them about Jesus. You're the pastor, you're the one who has to evangelize. He said, how do I get across the message that we are a team, we are a body, we're all involved working together. That's part of being a church, isn't it? Just on Easter Saturday, there was Terry, there was Roger, there was myself, there was Paul, there was Amanda and her children, there was Serena, and there was Luke and Jake. We all gathered together. Why? Because we were moving Serena from one house to another. We had a moving experience together. I had to say that. But the point was that we were there together, and by our presence, by what we said and by what we did, we were encouraging one another to work together. As Bob the Builder would say, we were working together to get the job done. That's what God delights to see. God delights to see his people working together to get the job done. And the biggest job is sharing the gospel. God calls us to work together. And when you stop and think of it, we are part of a huge team, comprising of believers right throughout the world. And we accord, as believers in that team, to inspire others through our commitment to Jesus Christ and our passion. But we're also called to be inspired or to be moved by others to do and to be more for Jesus. And we're inspired by those believers that God causes at times, particularly, to cross our pathway. People like Wayne Field, who came here last week. Now, this is what happened in the book of Acts and in the passage, in the story that we had read together, or read to us by David from Acts chapter 8. In the previous chapter, in Acts chapter 7, we read about the martyrdom of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. It is, when you think about it, a horrible story. It is. It's not a good story, is it? It would have been a terrible, terrible time for that first church to see one of their guys stoned. They'd already seen Jesus crucified. Now to see Stephen, one of that first group of deacons, stoned, would have been terrible. Stephen was a young man who was obviously going somewhere. He was set apart by the church to be a deacon because he was a man of great faith and full of the Spirit of God. And he proclaimed Jesus as the Christ. And he strongly proclaimed it wherever he could. And then he was taken before the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin was that group of 70 august men who set the rules for the people of Israel in Jerusalem. But they were the same group that had sent Jesus to be crucified. Now Stephen is dragged before them. But he's courageous. He doesn't back down. He stands up and he even says to them, "This Jesus who you crucified, God had proclaimed as his Christ and has risen him from the dead. And one day he's coming back to judge those who stood against him." And they were so angered by that that they dragged him outside the city and there they stoned him to death. And what we read when we come in Acts 8, that on the day they stoned Stephen to death, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And we are told that they went everywhere from that place proclaiming the word of God. So it was the persecution that moved believers like Philip, whose story we read in Acts 8, it was a persecution that moved them out of Jerusalem. But you know what? It was not the persecution that caused them to go everywhere preaching the word of God. It wasn't the persecution that made them to do that. And when you think about it, Philip going out from Jerusalem to Samaria, you would think that he had every reason not to share the gospel. His good friend Stephen, one of the seven with him, had just been murdered for sharing the gospel. Persecution and turmoil was at its height. Surely that was a good time, Philip, to go to ground, not to start talking about Jesus. But that's exactly what he did. You see, he preached, and he preached with such power, we're told, that the whole community was converted.
And when we think about it, yeah, it was Peter's own personal commitment to Christ that made him preach. It was the power of the Spirit in him that made him preach. That's for sure. But he was also inspired by Stephen. It was the inspiration he received from the example of Stephen that led to his obedience. And what the second point they give us draws out from the story is the need for us too to be inspired by the faithfulness. Not the success, but the faithfulness of other Christians to go on and be what God wants us to be. You see, when you stop and think about it, Stephen was not really successful. He did not see great crowds of people coming to know the Lord through his preaching. In fact, he died before he could achieve the great things that Philip went on to achieve. But he was faithful. He was faithful. And that is what the people who put out this sermon structure want us to see. And quoting from their notes, we read this. Stephen wasn't personally successful. He was killed. But he was faithful. And perhaps Philip recognized his faithfulness and was moved and inspired by it and followed the same path. Philip was not an apostle. He was not a big shot. Philip's great power came from the fact that he loved Jesus, pure and simple. God used a layman like Philip to influence a whole culture for Christ. That's the story. Now, as we consider the people that move and inspire us, what characteristics are we drawn to? Success? Fame? Fortune? Or faithfulness? I thought about that question this week when I realised, you know, I'm inspired most by the little people in the world's eyes who are just so faithful in their commitment. I see these others, these great preachers, these big people, but it's not them that inspires me. It's the little people. People in this church who I know have persevered so long and so faithfully in what they do for the Lord. And yet others hardly notice them. But they've persevered. Why? Because they believe that this is what Jesus wants them to do. And they do it with all their heart and all their strength for him. They are faithful. I think also of a little old lady I met when I was preaching in a little village in the Philippines. And she sticks in my mind because I don't think I've ever seen anyone so crippled with arthritis and yet still able to move as she was. Of course, in that little village, she didn't have access to the painkilling drugs that we had. So she got around, hunched right over, so she was bent almost double with two old sticks. And every step was an agonising pain for her, it could be seen. But you know what? She was always the first at every meeting I took. And she had a testimony that she shared with others about Jesus. That was wonderful. It was faithfulness. Over the years, as a pastor, I've been often in situations where people have come to me and given a sacrificial gift of money to me to use in some way or to pass on to someone. And I've not wanted to receive it because I've known they haven't got much. I've known their situation is desperate, but they've given it. And I've said, look, you really can't afford that. And they've looked at me and said, this is what God wants me to give. And I felt that big. And they've given out of their poverty, like the woman in the Bible, the widow in the Bible, because of their love for the Lord and for his work. And I think of others in this church here who've gone on mission trips, despite often their age or despite the fact that they really can't afford to go and the sacrifice financially for them to go, which is very big. And I've been inspired. Stories of faithfulness, so many in my mind, that has inspired me in my ministry. And you know, it's my prayer that I in turn will live a life of faithfulness, somehow that might inspire others. But being inspired by the faithfulness of others is not enough in itself, is it? If that's all it is. And the third point they give us is that we in turn must be ready to be moved, ready to respond to their inspiration, ready to do our part. You know, that passage back in Acts we were looking at goes on to tell us that the apostles in Jerusalem saw what was happening in Samaria, and they sent Peter and John down to check it out. And when Peter and John saw the faithfulness of Philip and what he was doing, they were so inspired, they were so moved and motivated, that when they went back to Jerusalem, they stopped at every Samaritan village they could along the way and preached the gospel. They were moved to share the gospel more and more because of what they'd seen and what they'd heard about. And that had motivated them. You know, in this mission month, we too become aware, through what we hear, of the amazing growth that is happening in the world today. I think that came through last week, didn't it? At present, we're not seeing that same growth here in Australia. And we need to pray that that will happen. But it is happening elsewhere. You know, they go on in their notes and say this: in our world today, God is still moving. Lives are still being changed, and people are experiencing the same great joy expressed by the Samaritans as they discover Jesus. Just as Peter and John went to check out the stories they had heard, we are reminded to look, listen, and be aware of what God is doing. How aware are we of what God is doing in our world today? The point they make is that we need to hear about the things that are happening in the world in order to be inspired and moved. And to hear, we've got to do something. It's not just going to happen if we sit back and do nothing. We've got to do something. And they give actually 5 points. And they say, if we are able, we should go on a short-term mission where we see God working in the lives of many. Now, I've been on short-term mission, and I can tell you that they're not very pleasant sometimes. But I tell you what, they inspire you. You come back and you never forget it. You never change. You're changed. And you never, ever forget what you've experienced. You see God at work. It's a great thing to be. It's right, isn't it, Don? Yeah, thank you. And Faye and others around. The second thing, this month, we can commit ourselves right now to attending the different opportunities given us to learn more about missionary work in other countries. That happened this month. Next week we have our prayer walk or prayer march or whatever you may call it in the church here. And I appeal to you, come along. Realise you've got to prioritise this to make it happen. You don't not going to happen if you turn up next week and think, oh, should I do that? Because you probably won't. You've got to plan for it. If you plan normally to be at church from 1.5 to 2 hours on a Sunday, plan next week you're going to be here 2 to 3 hours. As easy as that. Be here. Be part of it. That's the only way you're going to do. Learn about these different countries so you can see what God is doing and you can pray with passion and confidence of what God's going to do. Make sure you get to that movie night. Oh, you may not drive at night. Well, let me tell you something. Yeah, you can learn some way of driving at night or get someone else to drive you at night on that Wednesday because it's worth it. We're going to hear about how God is working in the Philippines. We're going to be able to pray and see and be excited about it together. That's what it's talking about. Goes on and says, commit to reading a missionary biography every month or at the very least once a year. Terry's just got real excited because he's just finished reading Brother Andrew's book. Terry don't read much, do you, Terry? So it had to be a good book. And it inspired him. You probably can't borrow it because I think it's falling to bits. But get a mission biography and read it and be inspired. Another one they reckon is subscribe to prayer letters sent out. Make every opportunity, put yourself on the list to receive a prayer letter from a missionary. And they suggest that we could even try to invite a cross-cultural worker to come and share at your home group. That's something we can look at. But of course, all this just finding out what's happening, being inspired by what God is doing, is great. But it's not enough. We must be ready to take our place, and that's their fourth point. Taking our place. You know, we've all got a part to play in the Great Commission. The Great Commission is to go into the world and proclaim the gospel. We've all got a part to play. The responsibility of sharing the gospel is the responsibility of everyone, every believer, continuing in some way to be involved in sharing the gospel while you've still got breath in your body. You never retire from it. But you know, as well as that, there are some things which are givens. We are all to pray. We are all to give. We are all to be light shining in the place that God has put us. That's not negotiable. That's not optional extras. That's it. That's what we are to do. And then on top of that, we're to be aware of those special calls to go out of our comfort zone in some way that the Holy Spirit puts upon our hearts, that God delights to give us. You see, as well as being listeners and learners, which is great, we have a role as the tellers, sharing what God is doing in our lives. We are part of a long line of God's people taking our place in God's work. There are people that we, each one of us, will come into contact with that may well be looking to us for some direction in their lives. They'd be watching how we live out our faith. They will be listening for the stories we tell about God working in us and working in his world. Will they hear them from us? That's the question, isn't it? Will they see Jesus in us? Will they hear through us of the exciting things that God is doing in the world? Will we, as we are moved by the faithfulness of others, become so passionate to be what God wants us to be, in the place where he wants us to be, that others around us, believers and the non-believers too, will in turn be moved and inspired to move a step closer to Jesus. And when you put it all together, that's the challenge of this mission month. There's a prayer they have handed me, which they suggest I pray, and I think it's a good one, so I will. So join with me as I pray this prayer. Dear Lord, we dare to commit ourselves to take our place in your mission, not because it is our duty, though it is, not because it will bring eternal life to many, though it will, not because it will improve the quality of life of the poor, though it will, not because it will improve stability in the world's institutions, though it will, not because it will improve environmental stewardship, though it will, not because we will be rewarded, though we will. We share you with the nations because Jesus is worthy to receive the honour, the glory and the praise. Amen. Let's sing together a song.